T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Marks and Reese on a football Friday. Johnny Marks and Ike Reese. Hi, Ike.
Johnny Marks. Holla at your boy.
It's kind of...
Did I mess that up?
No, you didn't. I just like, it's almost like the anger is here and it's coming, but it's almost like I'm just kind of laughing before the anger comes out. Nick Sirianni, he's taken a lot of punishment today on WIP and probably pretty much everywhere, and it's deserved because it is, it's bad. It's really, really bad, and I question whether or not he is in over his head, and I think he is in over his head. But the quarterback looks like he's in over his head, too. He sucked last night, and I haven't heard enough of that. He's been bad 2 straight games, so you have a head coach who just flat out looks clueless. And you have a quarterback who doesn't seem like he can make necessary throws to be a quality quarterback in this league. And you're talking about 2 of the most important components on a football team, offensive head coach and quarterback. And both of them looked pathetic last night, Ike.
I don't know if I would use pathetic, but I get the sentiment and the feeling that you have and a lot of other people have today. Man, the airways have been on fire since – Early this morning.
Early. Since I tuned in to Angelo a little earlier than I normally do.
7 o'clock this morning, and people are screaming and yelling this morning. So, and here's what I'm not going to do today. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't be upset, and that damn sure wasn't the moral victory, so we don't have that feeling. Yeah, that was not a moral victory.
I had to assure a couple people today on social media this was not going to be a moral victory Friday.
No, that was not a moral victory, regardless of what that final score was, but I appreciate the cover. Nonetheless, I am not going to tell you that you shouldn't have concerns. Here's what I will say is that I understand the questions and the concerns. I'm just not jumping off the ledge just yet. But I
you know where I'm coming from.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yes. 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 I see the concerns. There are a lot of questions that I have as well. I'm ready to get into this game because, quite frankly, John, you're right. I mean, we can get on Nick Sirianni about the game plan, the play calls at times last night, all those things. And there's enough
and we will.
There's enough there to question and to be frustrated with. Again, the lack of running the football. Giving it to Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell, 1 touch last night. Come on, man. But there is something to what you're saying about the quarterback as well, whereas I'm not saying I expected Jalen to go out there and out-duel Tom Brady last night, but he didn't play the way he played against Patrick Mahomes when he made plays in that game, when he made throws in that game, and I felt better coming out of that game. And since that game, you mentioned, his last 2 games have not been very good.
No.
I mean, barely 50% completion.
No.
Have not been very good. And the fourth quarter, heroics, off schedule, running around, make a play, throw the ball, somebody makes a catch, and your numbers look a certain way, and you run in for a touchdown or two at the end of the game, and your fantasy points. No. No. Throws were missed last night. Throws were missed in that Carolina game.
Yep.
You just happened to get a win because the defense kept you in the game. Throws were missed last night, whereas the defense didn't necessarily play great, but I thought they played better than when they played against Kansas City.
Yep.
Getting Tom Brady on a short week, right? I mean, to hold them to only 28 points, if you had the offensive type of output that you had in the Kansas City game, just from the standpoint of moving the ball up and down the field, you would have had a better chance to win that game last night. You didn't do anything. Forget about the run. The passing game, and that's why Jalen should be in the crosshairs, because last night was supposed to be about throwing the ball and taking advantage of a Bucs secondary that was the worst passing defense in the league. The quarterback couldn't take advantage of it last night. Took advantage of it against Kansas City,
yep,
with no problem. Did not take advantage of it last night. So he holds some blame in how that game played out last night.
Yeah, Richard Sherman got hurt pretty early.
Man,
that was another
like
body
a
that went down.
Second series of the game, yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to talk a lot about running the football, as we should, because his refusal to run the football at all. And this is from Ruben Frank. Mm-hmm. Last four games in the first half, they have 13 running back carries in the first half of the last four games. So that's
combined.
So that's two full games. 105 offensive plays, 13 running back carries. I could trot out stat after stat after stat. They're throwing on 77.3% of their snaps, right? With a guy that really shouldn't be throwing the ball 77%. This isn't Aaron Rodgers. This isn't Tom Brady. This isn't the top quarterback in the league. But as far as Jalen Hurts, he's missing open guys too far often. It's happening a lot. It happened last week. It happened last night. It happened even on their most productive offensive plays of the night, which were pass interference calls. If they're good throws, I don't think you have pass interference, right? Like that, yeah. That the first one was an underthrow, and it was mm-hmm. pass interference because the defensive back wasn't looking back, and he made contact. The second one, the ball needed to be thrown earlier to Jalen Reagor. Mm-hmm. Troy Aikman talked about it on the broadcast, to where Jalen Hurts, when he's throwing a deep ball, looks like me in the backyard. Like, literally, like, needing to kind of wind up and get a jump and a hop, so boom, to throw it. He struggles to throw the long ball. It's the arm strength. He doesn't have, like, on some of the short and intermediate routes, it's like, you ask yourself, like, all right, like, I guess he has the arm strength, but when you really look at the balls that he needs to zip in there, he either doesn't do it or they don't make it there. There were numerous throws last night where he had guys that were open on timing routes, on plays that the ball needed to be thrown before he was coming out of his break. You see NFL quarterbacks do all the time that he wasn't doing or he wasn't doing enough. He's not seeing the field. Here's the other thing that bothered me with Jalen Hurts last night, and he did it the week before. He's not making good decisions when he's under pressure. He's throwing the ball up. He could have been intercepted numerous times last night. He's sliding for a sack, right? Like, so we could talk about Nick Sirianni all day, and we should. I mean, like, during his press conferences, they're even worse than what's going on the field, which is tough to do. He has no answer. So the head coach, the quarterback, Jannard Avery, with a taunting penalty where you have momentum. It's first and 10. You get a 2-yard stop,
right.
And now they're at the 42-yard line with first and 10.
He's got to be smarter, man.
Like,
come on, man. Like,
number 58 can't make this football play.
Yep.
That's true. Yeah, you just can't do that. Listen, it's a dumb rule. I don't like it. I get it. But you know it's a rule. You know it's there. And the moment you do that, you leave yourself open for the official to determine subjectively or objectively. Is that taunting? Should I throw the flag there? Yeah, throw the flag there.
And Fournette sold it very well.
Yes.
Kind of banged on him like, whoa, put his hands up.
So you can't do that, man. You can't do that. And, yes, they're going to be more likely to call that on a defensive player versus an offensive player. So
yeah,
I get all the Antonio Brown getting up celebrating or what have you, but he usually is running and facing the crowd as opposed to getting in a player's face.
I'm gonna bring up one more thing. We'll get right to the phones after that. We take phone calls in the first segment. 215-592-9494. I heard Mike Lombardi talk about this morning with Angelo, And this is where, even though this is Nick Sirianni's first year as a head coach, and I know he hasn't called plays before, but if he's ever played Madden or he's ever watched TV before, he's ever watched the game on TV before, the last thing you want to do at the end of the first half is give Tom Brady the ball back, right? You're getting the ball to come out of the second half. The last thing you want to do is give him the ball back. So you have to work the clock to where you're still giving yourself a chance to gain yardage without throwing three straight incompletions that give Tom Brady the ball back.
Yep.
So what does he do? Like, if you run the ball on first down there, now
the
clock's running, and if Tampa wants to take a timeout, at least you're forcing them to take a timeout, and then you're playing accordingly from there. Mm-hmm. You're getting the ball to start the second half. It's more important that Tampa doesn't get the ball back than you trying to throw three straight times. Now, they didn't score. Tampa got the ball back and didn't score.
Yep.
But it shows you the inexperience of Nick Sirianni that he would come out, like, again, he's playing checkers. He's not playing chess. He's just going out there with his offensive plays, and he's just play. Without really a rhyme or reason for anything that he does.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure he feels he has a rhyme and a reason. It's hard for him to explain it to us at times. It's hard for us to see it ourselves. I feel you there. And this is the frustrating part of him being an inexperienced head coach, is because he's learning on the job. He's never been a play caller. So managing the clock and understanding those things you just brought up, you know, if he has offensive coordinator in his background and where he's called plays before, then maybe he understands that. Because I'm in the press box saying, I can't believe we're about to get him the ball
back.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Yeah, we're about to get Tom Brady the ball back. All right, we got away. He didn't score before the half. He punted to us. Great, okay, maybe we get three. No, we won't get three. We just threw the ball three straight times and three straight incompletions, and Brady gets the ball back again. So I'm saying the same thing in the press box. Like, that's just something you don't do. And you know you get the ball coming out after halftime. Man,
inexperience, I understand, and I understand the growing pain.
Listen, it doesn't excuse it. I'm just saying this is why we're dealing with it. We're not dealing with an experienced head coach here. He's learning on the job. It's frustrating. It's maddening. I'm with you. But when they hired him, this is what we should have been anticipating.
Yeah, we should have. More. Like, we should have anticipated this more. You're right. Mike Lombardi said the same thing tonight. It's like, no, they hired a guy that didn't have experience. He didn't have experience calling plays. So we should expect. Jalen Hurts has really disappointed me the last 2 weeks. It's made me, and I haven't been doing the week to week. He is the guy. He's not the guy. He is the guy. He's not the guy. Watching last night's game, I wondered if he's the guy. I just did, flat out.
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I just did. I actually wondered, like, he's not – I actually said he's not the guy after watching last night during the game.
Well, you certainly see throws and you say, well, this is why people have questions.
Yeah.
You know, there's obviously things when you watch him play that are appealing, that you like about his game, that you want to continue to see him grow. But the last 2 weeks, you know
– that's why he's a second-round pick.
He's taking a step back from the Kansas City game. And – this isn't being hypercritical. It's saying, well, these are throws that we've seen him miss, like throws that he should be able to make. Has nothing to do with just 10 games played or 8 games played or any of that stuff. We're talking about a guy that you expect to be an above-average NFL quarterback. And it doesn't take 3 to 4 years for you to become that. When you're something special, when you're a upper echelon drafted guy, that's supposed to be seen within the first year or two. He's already been here a year. It doesn't mean you get 32 starts before people start to evaluate you. No, it means what type of trajectory are you on? What's your growth chart look like? Are you progressing? And that's what you want to see from him in the last 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, he hasn't faced the 85 Bears defenses. We're talking about throws that could have been made that just weren't made.
Easy throws. Easy NFL throws that it doesn't seem like are
when you're talking about
standard for him.
You want to make somebody your franchise quarterback. These are the things that you want to see.
Yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's get reactions, starting with Yoshi in Brewerytown. Yoshi, what's up, man?
Good afternoon.
What's good about?
What's up, Yosh?
No, it's good that I could call up here and talk to my buddies, John, Ike, and Jackie, baby, about this crap that's going on. I'm sorry. You know, I started off, what's the name, a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about competent coaching. I'm a liar. I'm a big, fat liar. Competent coaching, incompetent coaching. Hey, Nick, what's your identity? Well, you know, we're all, what's the name, who really has an identity right now? We're all growing. Where you? Oh, man, shut up. Shut up. He has no idea. Hey, Nick, what's the name? Are you going to self-evaluate, what's the name, during this time off? Oh, yeah. What we're going to do, I believe in the guys. They're great play callers in there. And we're going to keep up the same process. He's going to do the same thing, old thing. The same thing. He's telling us we're going to keep going out there with this lackluster play. And Jalen, I love the kid. Good-looking kid. Oh, he looks like a thoroughbred. He's a great person. But, bruh, I said it, what's the name, the other day. He just don't know what throws to make. Put that ball in front of Regan. Like, I don't know who just said it, Jack. John or I. What's the name? If you make that good throw, bro, we got bailed out on them pass interferences. You put that ball in front of them, and we win the ball one time through the first half. I'm tired of that. I know they got a good line and all that. And one last thing, Troy Aikman said during the game, "Hey Nick," he said, "I talked to Nick throughout the week, and I said, you ever think about relinquishing the play calling?" He said, "No, because that is what his expertise. This guy is."
All right, Yoshi.
Wow.
Love y'all. Have a blessed weekend.
Yeah, good start. Yeah, I actually was thinking about when do the questions about are you going to let somebody else call plays, and we're here.
Oh, yeah, we're here.
We are here.
And
well, if you take the play calling away from the offensive head coach, what's he doing?
Well, you know what, though? I don't know if that's not a bad idea.
Oh, I agree with you.
You go
Steichen
up there,
has experience doing it.
You go up there and you be a leader of men. The problem is, it's not what he wants at this moment. But, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin, they don't call plays. Mike McCarthy isn't calling plays. So you can be a head coach. It's not like you need to be this authoritative figure. That's not what he is.
Clearly.
So if play calling isn't necessarily your forte and it can be improved upon by handing it over to someone who is accustomed to calling plays and have called games. At some point we're going to get to that. That's a real conversation.
At some point he's going to have to do it.
Yes, it's a real conversation.
But to your point, they do still – they don't give up. They play hard for him.
Yes.
They like him.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes, there's no mutiny on the coach and the players. There's no disconnect there. They're fine in that department. We're just trying to figure out how do we get this thing turned around.
But I guess my point is that right now they're behind him. They're playing hard for him.
Yeah.
You do this for another 6 or 7 games, the guys are going to be saying, this guy doesn't know what he's doing, and now you're affecting my bottom line.
Well, that's what you worry about. You worry about that.
And I hear some of that with Jalen already.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I hear some of that with Jalen already. And how could you not feel like that? How could you not feel like that based on what they've been doing with this offense and what they've looked like in the first half?
He needs to make sure he's doing his part before he's looking at anybody
else. Totally agree.
Yeah, yeah,
he's a big part of this too.
Yeah, of course he is.
Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Northeast Philly. Paul, what's up? How are you?
John, how you doing? How's that?
What's up, Paul? Doing? Good, brother.
Yeah. Listen, can I get some of the Ike juice this Friday?
Oh, yeah, we've been drinking that Ike juice.
All right, listen. All right, I'm sorry, guys. And I really feel disheartened because I've been a long-time listener, second-time caller. But, yo, Nick Sirianni gotta go, bro. I don't give a fuck.
Yep. Yeah, there's that.
Good screening, Jack. How you doing in there, Jack? All right?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing great today.
What's wrong with you, buddy?
Well, because it's as an Eagles fan, I sit here. Mm-hmm. And I just feel so down on the whole franchise as a whole. I thought I was going to walk into this year, and it's going to be a nice breath of fresh air. Young coach that I – I thought he was an idiot the first time he talked. But, hey, maybe he can turn out to be McVay and he can have an innovative offense and all this stuff. That's not happening. I have a quarterback no. who can't throw the ball 40 yards down the field. I have a first-round receiver that they can't even, like, at least make that fun. Like, honestly, the whole thing needs a major teardown, and it's not going to happen. Like, we have to resign to the fact that Howie's not going to go anywhere, and I hate that. Like, I absolutely hate that because he needs to go. Like, this whole thing is broken. It's not getting any better. And honestly, if they lose out, it's the best thing for the franchise. It is an awful day.
Oh, we're doing the lose out already?
I'm just so dumb.
We are not losing out. We don't care about no damn draft picks. We got
three of
them.
It's not about draft picks. They need to clean this whole thing out.
Well,
head coach, quarterback, GM, all got to go. Well, defensive coordinator needs to go. It's all bad.
You might get 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4.
Right.
I don't think you're getting all of them. But, I mean, Jack, I thought for sure at least you were going to see something different last night. You're going to see something different from the head coach. You're going to see something different from the play calling. And they started out the game, we were talking about doing zone read runs. Uh-huh. So they tried that twice in the first series, and then that was it. Right into the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, we knew they couldn't run the ball against this team.
It was pretty clear after that.
I mean, nobody can.
Yeah.
Nobody runs the ball against this team. And don't be fooled by the runs they got late in the game when they were down by 3 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, and Tampa just wants to keep the clock running. When they wanted to run the football, they couldn't run the football. I think they just ran up against a team that is clearly better than they are. The problem that I have after watching last night's game is that I see consecutive games where the offense isn't getting better. Now, we can rip on the defense all we want to, but quite frankly, they're the reason we won Sunday, first of all. And then secondly, to hold Tom Brady and that offense to 28 points and you were still in the game, they didn't get the ball thrown over their head. Yeah, they gave up some drives methodically, but that's what they're going to do. They're going to give up drives, 9 plays, 10 plays. That's the idea. You shorten the game by limiting the possessions that the Bucs have, which will keep the score down. What you have to do when you're playing against a defense, when you're playing against a defense that's terrible against the pass, you have to go out there and put points on the board. You got to put points on the board. And I'm not saying it was going to be easy, but the secondary was in shambles last night for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we couldn't take advantage. 12 for 26?
Yeah, it's insane.
Underthrows, misthrows. Quez Watkins beat his guy. Jalen Reagor beat his guy a couple times. You got to put the ball out there.
And the one catch by Quez was actually both catches by two catches. The one that was batted, he made an unbelievable adjustment to get it. He had the great catch on the sideline,
too. I still don't know how he caught that ball. And that's one of the throws where the ball could have got picked off when Jalen threw it back across his body. It got tipped. And we're lucky that didn't lead to an interception.
He was terrible last night.
So I won't say he was terrible last night, but he damn sure has regressed for 2 straight weeks now.
He has.
That's for sure.
And the defense –
I mean, 3 interceptions in 2 weeks. How many interceptions have he thrown in the last couple weeks?
I mean, he I don't think he actually threw – How many
did he
have?
He threw a pick against Carolina. He threw one last night. He didn't throw one against Kansas City. He threw two against
Dallas.
So that's 4 interceptions in the last 3 weeks.
And every week he should have been intercepted a
couple
of times.
Oh, there's plenty
of
other ones. Yeah, of course. Well, that's what I'm saying. When you're running around trying to make plays with your legs and you're just throwing the ball like it's in the backyard, like you get a false sense of security of throwing the football that way. You can't do that.
And the defense got some stops last night.
Yes!
I mean, they did. They got Brady off the field a couple of times.
They held him to 28 points that game. If the offense had done anything, the offense didn't do anything. The offense couldn't sustain a drive. They had 6 possessions where they went 5 3-and-outs in an interception for 6 straight possessions. You had your defense on the field all game. All game against that offense. The offense didn't do anything last night until the end of the game.
Yeah, you had the –
you're down 28-7.
You had the first touchdown, which a lot of that was
the pass interference. Yeah, we saw that, yeah.
Three and out, interception, end of the half.
Yeah.
Awesome. Looked like last week.
And it was 28-7. They didn't score until it was 28-7.
215-592-9494. All your phone calls coming up next.
2 weeks in a row.
215-592-9494. What is your main takeaway from last night? Is it Jalen Hurts? Is it Nick Sirianni? Is it something else? We'll get to all your reaction on the other side. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, AAA and the Eagles have teamed up to offer something no Eagles fan will want to miss. The new AAA Eagles MVP membership takes all of the benefits of AAA and adds Eagles fan features like a custom Eagles membership card, discounts on Eagles merchandise at the Pro Shop, and chances to be selected for exclusive Eagles MVP events and experiences throughout the year. Already a AAA member, you say? Guess what? Becoming an Eagles MVP is free and easy. Just do what I did. Go to AAA.com/Eagles for all the info and become a AAA Eagles MVP member today.
We're going to continue to do the things we've been doing as far as play calling and game planning. We feel like we have a good process there of how we go through it. I am fortunate that on this staff, I have guys that have experience calling games, which is helping me throughout games. So we're going to continue to stick with that. We got a lot of confidence in that, and we got to execute and do better, but confident in our process there.
Yeah, well, good. That makes one of us, Nick.
Wow,
Jack, you are.
How much?
Jack's vicious today.
Well, how do we know Shane Steichen doesn't have a lot of influence on the game plan?
Good.
I mean, he's in his ear the entire time.
Well, by the way, I would hope that he would, based on him being an offensive coordinator that calls plays, his experience. The coach should be leaning on him a little bit.
Here's what I don't necessarily sort of envision happening down on the sideline is that Nick Sirianni is some sort of control freak, and he's not taking advice from Shane Steichen as to what to call, what's up next. They obviously put the game plan together. They put it together right. So, and he's in his ear down there.
I would hope he's doing something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be worried. He could be one of the problems.
Well, I mean, he's not much older.
No, he's 36.
Oh, he's younger.
He's younger, but he has been an offensive coordinator in this league. And as I mentioned before, when they hired him, I was just did a brief internet search to find out more about him, and everything I kept seeing was the Chargers fans hated him and said he sucked.
Well, who the hell are we giving play calling to then, if that's the case?
Is Bill Musgrave available?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, what are we doing then, if that's the case?
Angelo?
last night, I didn't think play calling was as much of the issue as the game plan was.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing game plan-wise here?
By the way, headline, why keeping Shane Steichen would be a massive mistake. That from an L.A. Chargers site back earlier this year.
When he was just with the Chargers.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yep. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if and here's the other thing, right? Like, I still have to question why you never see any throws, or you don't see many throws across the middle, or a lot of those intermediate throws. I think I know the answer. When they have it, he misses it.
Yeah.
But like,
has to be part of it, right? Part of it. Yeah. Has to be.
But I can't imagine that it's limiting what they do on offense that much to where they can't figure anything else out. Because they can't figure anything out for three quarters of the last two games. Like,
well, the problem is when you're going up against a guy like Todd Bowles, who's one of the best defensive coordinators in football, and even when he doesn't have all of his guys in the secondary.
That's what makes him good.
Well, he couldn't – we have young wide receivers. We don't have polished, finished products that could take advantage of that. See, you put that secondary out there against Amari Cooper with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, and you got Dak Prescott at quarterback. Now they can take advantage of that secondary. You put that secondary out there against Matthew Stafford, Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and DeSean Jackson, they're going to take advantage of that secondary. Oh, by the way, you added Sean McVay as the play caller going up against that secondary, and Kellen Moore going up against that secondary, right? Guys that are experienced play callers, play designers. We don't have that. We have young guys.
Inexperienced both in coaching and
and the players. And the players, so we couldn't take advantage. But it's funny because we were able to take advantage of what Kansas City was doing.
Yes, that must show you how bad they are on defense. This bothered me, and then we'll get back to the phones. Fourth and 10, there's 12 minutes and 43 seconds to go in the game. You're down 14, and you have the ball. Hurts just went incomplete to Miles Sanders, third and 10 now, fourth and 10. And they go for the field goal to make it a 11-point game if they get it, as opposed to just keeping it at 14, where you would still need two possessions to get either a touchdown and a two-point conversion and a field goal to tie it, or two touchdowns. And I can't, like, wouldn't the analytic there say to go for it? I mean, if we believe that so many of their decisions on fourth down are analytic-driven, it's a two-possession game whether you make a field goal or not.
Yeah, but the down and distance has to be a part of the equation.
So if it's fourth and six, they go for it because it's fourth and ten. The analytic says that you go for the field goal.
I mean, I don't know what the analytics say, but I'm saying the down and distance. The distance has to have something to do with it. I mean, 4th and 15 isn't the same as 4th and 3.
Right.
So you got a light, you got a better chance of converting that versus 4th and 10, which is not easy to convert. Oh, and by the way, it's not like we've been doing a whole lot offensively.
No, you've done nothing.
Yeah.
You really had. Well, I mean, you had a touchdown you had a touchdown the drive before that, but before that, you went three and out five times in a row, for the most part. So,
yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know if the analytics told him to kick it or what have you. I can understand where people would be like, you know what, you're down two scores, dude. You're not beating Tom Brady with the field goal. I get it. They also got the ball back two more times.
Yeah, Tampa
still didn't score from that point.
The next possession, Tampa made a mistake by going for it on fourth down when they could have easily punted it and tried to pin them and make it that much more difficult, being that they were down 14. Bruce Arians gave him a shot.
Yes, and the Eagles made him pay.
They did. Got a touchdown.
Made it
a game.
Yeah.
Got the two-point conversion to make sure that if you bet the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of people were happy.
You got your money,
Yeah.
All right, to the phones. I hung up on him yesterday without letting him get his point in, Ike.
Yeah.
But he deserves to be on the air today. His name is Mad Mike from King of Prussia. Mad Mike, what's up, brother? How are you?
I feel like Thanos. I'm inevitable. He will come back to me, and I'll be here to let you know that I was right. This team's terrible. Can we just be honest? This is what you get when you bring in a puppet head coach, and you bring in a quarterback that – he seems like a real decent guy, but he doesn't have the skill sets to play in this league. He's a runner. He doesn't have the arm. He doesn't have the vision. Like, he doesn't have the accuracy. Like, he only had 115 yards, which is pathetic in a wide open quarterback friendly league. Even with bad play calling, you didn't get at least 250 yards. Like, there were throws to be made and he missed them. So the coach stinks. The quarterback stinks. That's right, I said it, OG Wade stinks. Deal with it. He might be a nice guy, but he can't play in this league. And the GM has to go. Like, if the GM comes back next year, then this team's never going to be any better. Like, this team's going to stink. He's going to stink forever because the
GM's coming back next year, Mike.
Well, then the team's going to stink again next year, and I hope they lose every game this year, just like Fritz said. Like, I hope they lose, and I hope they get embarrassed week in and week out. I hope Detroit kicks their teeth in. I hope they get embarrassed and they keep throwing the screen passes, or Jalen runs to the right and throws the ball right pinned up against the sideline, because that's his play. That's his bread and butter play. Run to the sideline, throw the ball so you don't get sacked and hope something happens. Like, this team is terrible. And I've been telling everybody, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. Like, I'm just trying to tell you that we have no talent because our GM can't draft. He thinks he's a football guy, and so does our owner. They brought in a puppet moron head coach, and then they got a quarterback in there that they did. They told you they didn't have any faith in. They never wanted to name him the starter, and now they're just going to take all those draft picks and draft another guy next year. So, like, what am I missing here? Like,
yeah.
Are you out of ammunition yet?
No, I'm having fun.
We've had enough for today.
I'm tired of listening to it.
We've had enough for today. Yes. I agree. Thank you. Thank you, Bad Mike. As far as like they wanted to hire a puppet so they could do whatever they wanted to or whatever, they wanted Brandon Staley. They wanted Robert Saleh. They wanted to hire guys that just weren't interested in the job. And it's difficult to tell people that, no, like this isn't coming from ownership in the front office based on the way that Nick Sirianni's coaching and calling plays. It looks like somebody else is telling him what to do.
Well, here's the thing. If he's not the coach, they'll get rid of him. I mean, it's not like they're tied to the coach for the rest of their lives. If he's not the guy, they'll move on to someone else. If Jalen Hurts isn't the guy, they'll move on to somewhere else. Where I'll disagree with Mad Mike at is that this team isn't destined to fail. They need to continue to hit on draft picks. They're doing a nice job on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to have a plethora of picks coming up in next year's draft. Let's see who they draft. See, all the emotion after the game that he brings on a daily basis with the everything is on fire right now and everything is terrible. Well, if you actually take a step back and actually evaluate the team and say where are we right now and where are we headed? What are the pieces that I like that are on the team right now? Where do we need to improve it? And then do we have the assets to improve the team? Do we have draft capital? Will we have cap space to improve the team? You know, finding the quarterback changes everything.
Yep.
It changes everything. Now, if there's some people that are going to be disappointed that Jalen may turn out to not be the guy, then, oh, well. But that's going to show itself. That's going to show itself. And if he is the guy, even better, now you still have the assets to add around him on both sides of the football. The coaching part of it, I can't tell you how long Nick Sirianni's going to be here as a head coach. I don't know. I'm not sitting here telling you Nick Sirianni is leading you to the Super Bowl. But I think that's looking at the picture with a small sort of view. If you look at the big picture, look at the assets that you have and wonder whether or not how many more do we need to acquire before this team is ready to win. And do we have the ability to acquire those assets to make the team better? And as I look at the team right now, I like where they are. They just got more cap space by trading away Zach Ertz. They just picked up another fifth-round draft pick. We talk about those late-round draft picks. Well, I think our second-best wide receiver was a sixth-round draft pick. I think we just signed our left tackle, who was a seventh-round project, to an extension. So there are some things there that you can hang your hat on. If you want to look at the big picture, if you want to break down the game from last night, they stunk. That's two different things, though.
Yeah.
I can talk about the game from last night and what played out and how they ended up losing 28-22. I can separate that from the big picture. There's two different things.
Yeah.
And they don't have to be mutual.
Right. Yeah, like the big picture, like small picture, big picture. Big picture, look at the Jacksonville Jags. Urban Meyer looks like a major disaster.
Yeah, they're going to be looking for a new coach.
Right, like they haven't won a game in 2 years,
yeah.
But they have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Right. So
you got to add pieces around.
Right, but at least you know you have your quarterback. He's the mm-hmm. best prize. But this year they're terrible. They may not win a game, but you have Trevor Lawrence. The Eagles are going to win more games this year than the Jacksonville Jags.
Yes.
But like,
they have their franchise quarterback,
right.
And we're still looking to see if we have ours.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Eagles have other pieces that the Jags clearly don't. Well, let's do this. Let me tell you about BetMGM, then we'll get back to the phones. Become a weekend warrior at BetMGM. King of the Weekend is free to play. Challenge where you can win up to $50,000 for correctly picking the highest scoring football teams during the weekend. Log into your account to find the King of the Weekend contest in your promotion section. Then pick six teams you think will score the most points from the selected games. $1,000 will go to the top entry each week. And if you pick all six in the right order, the grand prize of $50,000 could be yours. Plus, hundreds in free bets will be awarded to players who come close to a perfect score. If you're new to BetMGM, you can download the app and make weekend football even better. Again, this is free. Check it out. Only at BetMGM.
New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, help is available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER at MGM Sports in partnership with Hollywood Casino Morgantown.
All right, so my question to you is if they have a veteran quarterback that's one of the better guys in the league.
Right.
Does Nick Sirianni, is he still running this high school Harry offense?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Oh, okay. So
I don't think so.
Every time, and Sirianni's bad. But every time I want to say that he's totally clueless, I have to ask myself that question.
Right.
What would this look like if he had a bona fide starting quarterback?
Right. I think that's fair. I do think the offense is catered around what Jalen does well to sort of help him at least have a chance out there on the field. You know, you get all these experts who aren't here that's entrenched in this like we are on a daily basis that just look at the film and they can see the plays and they're all calling it a college offense. So it's clear that they're running things that they think he's comfortable with.
Don't you have to give him more, though? I mean,
can he handle more?
The Chiefs was good in the Chiefs game.
Yeah, it was.
I don't know what happened.
It was.
That was a major step, even though.
But those were different plays, too. Remember that? They did all the motion stuff.
Where'd that go?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, where did that go?
That's what I'm saying. What are they doing?
On Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that part's on him. That's where we're having the sort of, is it more of the quarterback? Is it more of the coach? Or is it just the two combined? Right?
That's the real answer.
See, if I'm the Eagles, what I would have done, and this isn't revisionist history, I would have hired Josh McDaniels.
Oh, you'd be much better off right now.
Because at least I have a veteran coach that has worked with quarterbacks and has been a play caller. So you don't have to go through the growing pains of a guy calling plays for the first time and being a head coach for the first time.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing
right now. I'm not saying that they would be 4-1 right now or what have you, but here's the other thing, John. You also would have somebody who has his own ideas of how he wants to do things based on the success he's had, whether it be as an assistant in New England or whatever. He's been around more championships than anybody here.
Well, this offense would look even if they were worried about Jalen Hurts, this offense would be more successful, and they'd be trying different. Look what they did with Cam Newton last year, who couldn't throw a lick.
Well, look what they're doing. Mac Jones isn't setting the world on fire, but he doesn't look half bad.
Yeah. It looks good because he has third and short.
Right,
it's not
a lot
third
of that
long
going
every
on.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah, they're trying to put him in a position where he's going to succeed, not fail. Right now, it looks like the coaching staff, with the way they're calling these games. It looks like, they're pretty much just putting Hurts out there and being like RPO or. Like,
what if that's all he can run? I
wonder the same thing.
They don't want to lose games. And so this isn't necessarily an offense that he ran with Phillip Rivers. We know that.
It is not the offense.
Andrew Luck. No. We know that. So they catered an offense to fit the quarterback.
Let's go to Joe in Trenton. Joe, what's up, bud? How are you?
What's going on, brothers? I don't know what to feel right now, man. I'm all over the place, man. Good talking back to you guys, man. I know I've been out of pocket for a while, but you know, work and duty calls.
Yeah, we got you.
Man, listen, man. I'm just frustrated with everything. Here's the number one thing that frustrated me out of that entire night, and plus me, there's a plethora of things that upset me. But number 58 with that bonehead play, where we had, to a certain degree, we might have lost that game, whatever. But come on, you can't get a taunting call when we're trying to make a comeback.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, out of everything that transpired, and I was frustrated all night long, that to me was the most stupidest bonehead play that you can make when your team is trying to make a comeback. And who knows? Okay, the game plan was terrible. The game calling the quarterback was bad. The coaching was bad. But that's a game right there that you could probably take and say, okay, let's work off of this. The momentum may change.
Yep.
And you never know what can happen. But Jannard Avery, man, did this. I mean, come on, man. And I agree with Jack. To my personal opinion, I like Sirianni. But as of right now, I don't think Jeffrey Lurie is going to sit there and allow another couple of more games to go like this. And I'm calling either midseason or by end of season, he may be gone. If they're not satisfied with what he's doing.
Maybe end the season.
I don't see that happening during the season. I don't think Jeffrey Lurie, other than Chip Kelly, when it was, what, two games left to go, one game left to go?
Yeah, Pat Shurmur coached that. It was against the Giants last game, yeah.
Yeah, his coaches are pretty much finished out their final year.
Yes.
And believe me, I was with Ray. in 1998. So I know what that final year was like.
Yeah.
And it was worse than this.
Well, you got to give.
And Ray finished out the year.
You got to give everybody a chance to struggle. You're hoping they come out of these struggles.
As an owner, he's never going to. He's not a knee-jerk reaction guy. He's not firing the coach in the middle of the season. He doesn't have that type of track record. He'll just wait. If he thinks it's necessary, fire him at the end of the season.
Like he said with Doug, if he believes,
fire him at the end of the season if it's necessary.
If he believes it's not going to get better next year,
then
Nick Sirianni is not going to be back.
Right.
He's not giving him a second year just to give him a second year.
Well, to go through this again?
No.
I mean, he's not an absentee owner. If he doesn't feel like it's going to work. You know, that's what'll happen. But I don't know if the coach is the issue. Now, the way he handles press conferences and those type of things, like, he's had to get better at that. But when you're just talking about whether or not he is easy to work with, the players respecting, he represents the organization in a manner that you're perfectly fine with. Like, you don't just keep firing guys and bringing guys in because that's somebody else's personality you got to learn and everything else.
Yep.
So I just don't think they're going to just blow everything up.
I mean,
at the end of the year.
I hope not. I hope it doesn't get that bad that we're starting over again.
And it's only week six. We knew this was a tough part of the schedule, Jack. We're lucky we're not 1-6. That's what I was predicting. Did you forget that?
We are lucky.
Yeah, we actually won it that way.
Not like this.
Huh?
Not like this. I mean, he could be 1-6, but he could believe in something. The coach is the worst coach I've ever seen in my life.
I hear you.
What about the quarterback?
I still believe in him.
Okay.
Sticking to that?
I hear you.
No, I want to believe in him, but like
I do too.
The evidence in front of me is just like the arm's just not. You watch quarterbacks make special throws all year round, and he just can't do it. Like he can throw it, but it takes a lot of effort to get there.
Yep.
And it just the offense isn't moving at all, and it's probably in part because of him, but mostly because the head coach has no idea.
But I will also say this, and this is something that I think when they're continuing to build this roster that they need to look at, we're a small team. And when I say small, I mean small in the positions that we don't need to be small in.
Like linebacker?
Yeah, linebacker, even wide receivers. We don't have a physical group of wide receivers.
Well, J-Jaw's a good blocker.
But he ain't catching the ball. I don't consider that a wide receiver. I consider him a blocker. Yeah, he's not a wide receiver. He's a blocker.
Look at the Super Bowl team. They were as physical as any team that they played.
Yeah,
they were.
Yes.
Absolutely, they were.
We got to get back to that, man.
We got Elliot coming up on the other side. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Engagement season is here. Shop the best selection of diamond engagement rings in the area with my jeweler, Mark's Jewelers, in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Elliot! So, where's Elliot today on the Eagles and Jalen Hurts?
I saw a tweet. He wanted to bench the guy last night.
I got a couple text messages. He was playing poorly enough to bench him. I wouldn't have benched him for Flacco.
I'm talking about Elliott. That's all. He's the only one I'm talking about. He bench his guy? Did he let that come out of it? Oh, I can't wait to talk to him.
I can't wait to Elliott. This is going to be fun coming up next.
I can't wait to talk to him.
All right, we got your reaction. Next segment, we will take phone calls as well. Mark Sunrise, 94 WIP.
Yo, you know I like my egg juice, right? Seems like everybody else does as well. So register now for WIP's Ultimate Game Day Experience, presented by Jameson Irish Whiskey, for a chance to win 4 tickets to an Eagles game, a food and beverage credit at Lincoln Financial Field. How about this? $400 in Eagles Pro Shop gift cards and a chance to meet me and the WIP pregame crew. Now rewrite the playbook on game day with Jameson, Ginger, and Lime, and pick up the Jameson Eagles Limited Edition gift pack in stores now. WIP's Ultimate Game Day Experience, presented by Jameson Irish Whiskey. Just go to 94WIP.com/contest, and remember, taste responsibly.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.